Good evening, everyone. This is Bill Crozier. I'm chairing the PNB Elections Committee meeting. It's June 15th, 2009. Welcome, everyone. And Mr. Secretary, can you call the roll for us?
Certainly. My pleasure. Wesley Bethune. Wesley.
Here.
Carolyn Burden. Carolyn.
Jim Brown. Sorry, Carolyn, here.
Thank you, Carolyn. Jim Brown. Jim. Steve Brown. Steve. Bill Crozier.
I'm here.
Anthony Fest.
Here.
Tracy Larkins. Tracy. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Warren Marr. Warren. Ithia Wangaza. Ithia. Sean Casey O'Brien.
Present.
Wendy Schrell.
Here.
Bonnie Simmons.
Here.
Yo Shamanaka is here. We've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 over quorum.
Okay, thank you. Did everybody get the agenda that I sent out today?
Yeah,
finally,
or so.
Been kind of late? If you didn't get a chance to look at that, see if you can look at your email, and I'll read over it real quickly for anybody that's listening on the stream. And I'm sorry I didn't get it up on the website until just a little while ago. Also, first item is approval of agenda, 5 minutes. 2, approval of meeting minutes from May 31st, 5 minutes. 3, confirm next meeting, committee meeting date and time. July 20th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and the third Monday of each month thereafter. NES update. I'm not sure if he's going to be on the call, but I did talk to him earlier and got a few notes from him. Working group reports and updates. First of those is membership lists, cleanup, 10 minutes, and then staff list, 10 minutes. Number 6, form task force / subcommittee to work on list of challenges and fair campaign issues from past elections that our NES is collecting. 10 minutes. 7, cost-saving proposal to amend bylaws to extend delegate terms to 4 years. 10 minutes. Number 8, new business. First of those, changes to MEMSIS that we want to request / recommend. Parenthesis form task force, question mark. And B, motion or a campaign finance reform. These are both left over from previous meetings. And then adjourned by 10:30. So any changes or additions to the agenda?
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
If Les Radke comes on the call, I would suggest we extend the NES update from 10 to 20 minutes.
Okay. Any objections to that? Okay. So 20 minutes for the NES update. Anything else, anyone? The times don't total 2 hours, but you know we tend to go over on some things. Okay.
I'm sorry. So I didn't hear you. Kind of broke up there. What was the question?
Oh, sorry. Well, we just changed the NES update to 20 minutes. If Jeff Les joins the call, and then I commented that the times don't total 2 hours, but we tend to go over on at least one or two items. So maybe we'll still finish and get through everything by 10:30 Eastern.
I move we approve agenda.
All right. As amended, any objections? Hearing none, then agendas are adopted. And so we have meeting minutes approval next that Yosh sent out yesterday, and then an update today. This is from May 31st. Any corrections or additions to those? Okay, hearing no changes, then minutes from May 31st are approved. And the next committee meeting date and time. A few months ago, we decided on the third Monday of each month, which makes the next meeting July 20th at 8:30 Eastern. Is that okay with everybody?
Is there a possibility, and Wendy, maybe you can help me with this. Have we figured out when the PMD meeting is taking place?
Yeah, I think the recent, if I may, Carolyn here.
Yeah, go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, I think the recent poll that Wendy took indicated that the 24th, 25th, 26th weekend was it.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that,
yeah.
I mean, I'm fine with that. So it's July 24th through to 26th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so, yeah. That's the one that I have the least zero votes for.
Okay, and so that won't conflict with the 20th. That was my concern, yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. So I guess that's pretty definite then, that weekend. If it gets moved up a week, then we might have to change. Is that what you were saying?
It wouldn't be moved up a week, no matter what. If it were moved, it would go the other direction.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Okay, so I guess the next meeting date is confirmed then for us, July 20th. And we'll see. The next thing on the agenda is the NES update. Les, are you on the call? Let me just real briefly, I talked to him earlier today on the phone. He was kind of busy doing a bunch of different things related to elections. I'll just give you a quick update, and then we can discuss whatever else you might want to talk about on that. He's been taking rulings from the past LESs and NESs. He's noted that some are contradictory, and he wants to put them up on a website, I guess on Pacifica.org, I'm not sure. So that's what he's currently working on. He's also, the tutorials he feels are very important. He's trying to get those done as soon as possible, and they'll be offered to everyone. These are ones that they're being produced nationally, so we can use the same ones if programmers choose to use those. Starting to get some celebrity announcements for candidate recruitment. I didn't mention any names yet. One of the things he said he needs help with from us is on the FAIR campaign interpretation that relates to the rulings from the past. He said that, for example, websites, external websites, which he has a tendency not to want to control or prohibit, but there's been different interpretations in the past by different people. And he feels, for example, that those are probably okay as long as they don't have links back to the station and as long as they have a disclaimer that they're not an official Pacifica or station website. But there might need to be some clarification for that and also for other conflicting guidelines. And he says he's going to make a list for us. So that kind of fits in with item 6 on the agenda, maybe if we want to form a task force to help with that. But anybody have any questions? We could relate to him if he doesn't join the call later.
What was that second item, Bill? Something about tutorials?
Tutorials. He says they're very important also, and he's trying to get those produced. He didn't say who was doing it, but they're going to have some, professionally done tutorials or something. Uh-huh. I don't know. That would be at least make sure he's going to try to make sure he has all the important information in them and be interesting to listen to. And they'll be offered to any programmer that wants to run them. But I don't know how many they are or how long they are or any details.
Aren't programmers mandated by the election policy to run them? I don't think it's a choice.
They can produce their own, according to the election policy,
minutes.
I believe. Right. So I don't know how many of them would do that. But I'm hoping there is some variety, but
that
would be personal preference.
Just on KPFA, they'll be run by 50 different programmers. So hope there's some variety.
Is that 50 different programs?
Yeah, every programmer that has more than an hour a week is required to run this thing twice.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get a lot of variety right there.
Okay. Just a question for the committee. Do we want to help facilitate sharing of ones that individual programmers produce? Or
they're good.
Not sure how to do that, but...
Yeah.
I would think that would be something up to Les.
I think there's another concern here, which is that if programmers are going to produce their own, somebody better vet them, make sure that the information in each one of them is correct.
Yeah, do you want to pass along any suggestions to Les for that?
Let's just say, you know, who's going to ask him? Who's going to vet these, you know, the tutorials that are, you know, individually made using, I guess, the script they're going to put out? But, I mean, you know, yeah, we should just say, are you going to vet them? Who's going to vet them?
Seems like that would have to be either the NES or the LESs.
Right.
Okay.
I have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like those clean sheets. Are those okay? All right, let me know.
Say again?
Carolyn, are you talking to us?
Yeah, well, somebody said you have one. I wasn't sure.
That's
that Carolyn?
That's me, Wendy, wants to talk.
Wendy, go ahead. Okay, Wendy.
I'm unclear if I missed this or what, but have directives been issued to all the stations, like the way it was done in the past was to the program director and the GM, I guess, to get all of the people that are on the air to sign the Fair Campaigns provisions things? I mean, I'm unclear if they've been reminded of these rules yet or not. So that's what I would like Les to, you know, somebody to ask him or you know, remind him of if he hasn't done. Maybe it's all done and I just don't know it. But at our station, we basically had stalkers there, and every programmer that came in, they would have to sign that or they weren't going to be on the radio that day. And that's the way you know that everybody has read these restrictions, and then you don't have, you know, them being taken off the air and a big think made because they think it's arbitrary. I mean, these are the rules. You can't do this, you can't do that.
Right.
Okay. So just, you want to pass along that he needs to ensure that there is somebody that verifies each programmer has read them and agreed to
thing.
Them.
The staff has to.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I'm making some notes. If somebody else wants to make notes too, that'd be great. Other questions or suggestions for Les that we need to pass along to him?
Well, we had a question come up here, Carolyn.
Carolyn.
I don't know how whether this belongs here or in number six, but there is a petition to recall a couple of board members, and I hear there's another petition to recall a different couple of board members. So the question is, if a board member is, if there's something in the works to recall a board member who is running for re-election, putting that, let's say the petition is successful and the vote is successful, which is not very likely given the hurdle, but let's say it is successful, and then there is a ballot put in with the ballot to go to the listeners, that certainly prejudices the election to put that into. And so I think that we have a fair campaign violation here. Putting in derogatory information, potentially derogatory or negative information about a...
Well, excuse me, I just want to clarify something. If you are up for re-election, you should be, if they don't like you, they should go out and defeat you in the re-election. You don't recall somebody who's up for re-election.
Oh, that's too much like work, Sean. Come on, you know that's not how it goes.
No, but this is real-world things. You don't recall somebody who's up for re-election.
My assessment of the entire process and the attempt to do this is cockamamie, if you'll excuse me.
Well, no, it is cockamamie.
Okay, one at a time. Okay, so but the point for Les is you just want me to ask if he wants to
ruling
on that.
Is this as crazy as it sounds, or is it something that might possibly be you know, the correct way to proceed? I doubt it, but it would be nice to have an opinion. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it in my book is completely crazy because you only recall people who haven't completed their term, okay? If they are up for re-election, there is no need for a recall. You just merely try to go out and defeat the person. I mean,
Bill. I mean, I could see theoretically you could recall somebody who's running for re-election and they wouldn't be able to finish their, you know, the very end of their term, possibly.
In all of my work in democracy projects and my study of democracies around the world, I've never heard of such a thing.
I'll ask Les. That's okay.
Yeah.
Clearly it's a political move to discredit someone, and it won't have a real effect. And that is part of the issue. It's prejudicial and political, but it may be legal. And the question is, are we going to entertain this sort of thing? Because I can see where it could get very messy.
Okay, other questions or suggestions for Les?
Oh, yes, Yosh.
Yosh, okay.
Yes, I have a question. In your discussion with him, did he indicate whether he has selected a vendor to provide services?
I forgot to ask explicitly, but, you know, from the previous conversation, the long one we had, it sounded like he didn't think we needed one.
Did
anybody else on that call remember what he said?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Well, I remember. Afraid I got the same impression. I was a bit dismayed, you know.
We all got that impression.
I'm sorry, if I can follow up. So it appears that the LESs and the NES will carry the entire burden for the election. Is that correct?
And I believe, regarding the website, I think Otis and maybe John, or I'm not sure who will maybe helping them, are going to be doing all of that. And they've decided, Les has decided not to use electronic voting, so that would not be, you don't need anybody for that.
You mean internet voting?
Right.
Okay.
So I think he said except possibly for maybe one or two staff elections, sort of as an experiment. I think he said something like that to see, have that as an option for people that want to try it.
Yeah, I think it would be okay for staff, but I'll tell you something. You'll have a firestorm if you try to run an election over the internet. I know that from my previous experience on the Secretary of State's task force on touchscreen voting. I mean, that's probably the most controversial issue I've had to deal with in elections in 10 years. And believe me, Pacifica listeners led the charge.
Okay, well, I was just repeating what he told us a couple of weeks ago.
Follow-up.
Yosh, go ahead.
Yes, so should I go ahead and write to the vendors, the people that who had responded to the RFP, and tell them, thanks, but sorry, you're not selected. Or, sorry, but the NES has decided to do it completely in-house.
That's a good question. You know, it is possible he may want to use one of them for that, if they do electronic voting for a staff election as an option. I don't know. I guess he needs to talk to Sean or whoever else may have objections to you. So let me check with him and verify that. Okay. I forgot we were leaving them hanging, and they're probably getting disgusted with
it. Yeah, I'd like to get back to the vendors. They spent a lot of time and effort cranking out their proposals, and it's already June. I don't want to tell them in July or August, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, sort of dear.
Maybe we could get confirmation from Les on his plans and let him draft a letter.
That might be a way to do it.
That's fine. Someone needs to let them know as soon as the decision has been finalized.
Okay. I'll ask him and then let all of you know. If he wants us to write one or if he wants to do it.
Great.
Well, it's Bonnie. I have a question.
Yeah, Bonnie.
Could we ask Les, I wasn't expecting us to try to do electronic elections because I don't think that we have the information in any case that we'd need from all of the membership, but I am hoping that he's considering putting the candidate statements up for the most part electronically and making a much smaller amount of them so that we could get them to people that needed them snail mail, because it would save many, many thousands of dollars.
Right.
And I wonder if he is considering doing that.
You know, we talked about that at the long conference call we had a few weeks ago. Somebody was on that call. Want to refresh us on what Les said?
Yeah, and I don't want to quote Les here, but
Sean?
Yeah, I believe he is totally open to, he understands voter outreach and he understands freedom of association. And from the way I took it, he is not going to put any rule in place like last time about you can't use the internet, because, I don't know, programmers allegedly have their big lists and all this stuff. I don't think we're going to have to go through any of that. And Personally, I'm glad to hear it, because without good voter outreach, and you should make it as simple and as cheap as possible, and the Internet is the great, you know, it's the great equalizer here, we should be using it and saving our money.
Well, the issue was whether we would send out complete snail mail election packets with all the candidate statements and
right.
and questionnaires to everyone, or only do that on request and put all of it on the web. And I think he was looking into seeing if we could mail everything to everyone and using if the lists were cleaned and verified, an NCOA scan in advance and use a bulk rate and printed cheaply. He was hoping all of that could be mailed to everyone.
Well, that would be my question, because, and I share Bonnie's concern here, the weight, the more you put in there is going to cost us more, unless does bulk rate, now I'm not a pro at this, does bulk rate get us around that?
It's still going to be a lot more money.
Yeah, right, that's what I would assume.
And there's the other thing, I'll have to check with him,
and I don't think he had any cost data. He was just estimating or guessing. But.
Yeah, Carolyn, yeah. I think it's not just the cost, you know. Putting the candidate statements online and using the email addresses we have to notify people that they are online and asking those very same people either to verify that they've looked at them or to tell us they want them on paper anyway. You know, it's sort of a test, and it's a way to collect emails, and I really think it's important to make some start. I mean, I can see not doing it. We're not ready for online elections, definitely. But putting those candidate statements could save us a lot of money, but it could also test the process.
Yosh for the stack.
Okay. Yeah, Yosh.
Yeah, I know we've been talking about verifiability and cost, but there is a third factor, and that is the environment, and I really don't want to see us chopping down another, you know, two or three dozen trees just to grow out, you know, send out unnecessary candidate statements.
Could we send it out on hemp paper, Yosh?
Hemp, yes, we can use hemp. Or elephant dung.
Whatever's environmentally friendly, huh? So, other people have suggestions for Les? Anybody else have any suggestions or questions for him?
I would like to make that pretty specific, actually, to ask him to consider putting candidate statements online, all of them, and then somehow using email to either verify that people have read them or to ask them if they object or what the result of the experiment is. Somehow connecting listeners by email to some part of the elections at this point. If we don't start now, we're never going to have any email lists ready to go.
Okay, now you're talking about emails of candidates or emails of everybody who might vote?
Well, I would like to put candidate statements online and then send emails to everybody for whom we have emails. That's not a whole lot. But then just say, you know, here they are. Do you want them on paper too? Please say yes or no. We hope you say no for the following reasons. That's something like that, you know. And of course, because it's the first time and we have no advance publicity, unfortunately, we probably have to send them to everybody who didn't respond, and that's probably a lot of people. But it would be a start, even if it were, you know, 5% of the electorate. Mm-hmm.
Yosh for the stack.
And Bob,
Yosh, go ahead.
Yosh.
Yeah,
okay.
I was in the telephone room volunteering, you know, for pledges, and, you know, one of the things which is asked is your email address, and not a single pledgee or donor objected to giving an email address, and in fact, I think every donor did have an email address and did voluntarily give it up, and you don't really have to do a disclaimer. Oh, don't worry, you can trust us, we're not going to spam you. I think I did that on one or two calls, but it's even that disclaimer is totally unnecessary. They just willingly give it up, and they trust us. And anyway, I don't think
that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bonnie?
Yeah, I don't even think it's that complicated. I think if we were to put them all up online and then within the many, many promos that we are going to be doing around the election, every phase of this, we can just include it in the on-air information and have an email address or a phone number that people can call for the national election supervisor or the local election supervisor if they need to have it by regular mail, and then we can just send those out. I suspect it's not going to be that many people. I think many people may be satisfied with being able to read them online, especially with the ecological concerns and the monetary concerns.
This is Bob.
Okay, yeah, Bob?
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate and agree we should be concerned about the cost factors and the environmental effect of so much paper. But on the other hand, we have to look at the consequence of making it hard for people to get the paper version. And I think if you leave it in a passive form that only those who proactively say they want it on paper will get it, you're going to disenfranchise a lot of people who never heard the announcement on the radio, don't have email, are overwhelmed with email, they don't read all their email. There's all kinds of reasons that people may not respond. So I think at this stage, the only system that would be fair would be a negative system, which is that if someone sends an email or calls a phone number and says, I don't want it on paper, I'm happy to read it online, then fine. Then delete them from the mailing list. Or, you know, or from the list, not delete, I didn't mean it that way. What I meant was to make a special list for people who only get the ballot and don't get the pamphlet or, you know, whatever those logistics are. That's, I think, totally fine. But to require people to say that they do want it, I think you're going to really find a lot of people very angry when they're hearing other people, when they're hearing announcements about the election and the balloting, and they'll say, well, why didn't I get a booklet? You know, well, you missed the announcement that you could ask for it online. Well, you know, I don't really have access online. I don't have a home computer. I have to go to the library or whatever.
Sean on the stack.
Okay, Sean, great. I want to add myself after you too. Go ahead, Sean.
And then Wendy.
Yeah, no, I just...
And Wesley.
You know, I got to tell you, I come out of the disability community, and we were concerned about the digital divide, but the fact of the matter is that the digital divide is shrinking. 80% of people now have access to computers. So I don't think that that's a real big problem. And also, I think that we should ask them if they want to, but as Carolyn pointed out, we should say because of our ecological concerns, we would prefer not sending it to you. We can still make the offer to do it, but I don't think it's that big of a problem. I think most people have computers or access to computers, and they're going to use them predominantly find out what's going on.
Okay, I'm going to skip myself, and I just mentioned that we're almost at time, so... the rest of you can keep it short, unless you want to extend time on this. Let's see, we have Wendy and then Wesley.
I don't know the answer to whether this time we send out the candidate statements with the ballots or not, but I want to remind everybody about the survey that we need to send out, and that would be an excellent question, whether we send it out this time, send out the candidate statements in the mail this time or not. But one of the questions on the survey is, you know, in order to save trees, save money, blah, 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 would you, you know, go for having the stuff online next time? You know, a question about that.
Okay. Hey, Wesley?
Yes, Zach.
Okay. Afia, was that?
Yes.
Was that Afia?
Yes.
Okay. Wesley and then Afia, and then I think we're going to be out of time after that, unless somebody wants to extend time. Wesley?
Now, I'll try to make it swift. I agree we have people who will be, we have a lot of prisoners and who are supporters. They may not be the best contributors, but they do contribute in their many ways. So all these people, I agree with Bob that it should be a negative, you know, if they don't want to get it, if they want to save the environment, click here. put it on the website. And for those that have website, they can say, well, I don't need it. I've seen everything I need to see. Thank you.
Okay. Nafia?
I think there might be a midpoint. One is the survey that Wendy mentioned. The second is maybe to do it by postcard so that it is less expensive and less cumbersome. That has an 800 number if the goal is to reach people who don't have computer access, then a postcard would be inexpensive and could convey the information that's needed in a timely fashion.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't catch the exact start time for when we just started the discussion, but I think it was about 21 minutes ago, I believe. So we went over that. So I guess we're going to the next item on the agenda, unless...
This is Bob. I'd like to move to extend by 10 minutes.
Okay. Now, let me ask, did Les join on the call by any chance? Are you on, Les? Okay, I didn't hear. Okay. So there's a motion to extend. Is there any objections to that? By 10 minutes?
For what purpose?
For what issue? For the one we're on right now?
For the NES update. Now, this has sort of evolved into a list of questions and or suggestions for Les. So is that, did you want to explain that anymore, Bob?
Continue the discussion we were having.
Okay. Are there any objections to that?
Well, I'm off the call in just a few minutes, so I won't object.
Okay.
Question. I'm sorry if I missed this earlier. Is Les planning to be here, or does anyone know that?
I don't know. I talked to him earlier today, but he wasn't sure if he'd be on.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I don't hear any objections, so I guess we'll extend that for 10 more minutes. Actually, if that's 9 minutes from now, if that's okay, but we already went over a little bit. So who else wanted to speak?
Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Okay, well, I appreciate the spirit of the idea of a postcard to notify people. I still think that's very problematic. Postcards get lost easily. It happens all the time. I know it's happened to me. It's happened to other people I know. And people, put mail aside to deal with it later, and then they realize the deadline has passed, and now they're not going to be able to get their paper copy. I just think it's too problematic to make it anything other than that you'll get it automatically unless you take a step to ask that it be electronic. And, we can make it as easy as possible. We can give multiple options. You can do it by sending an email, going to a website, calling a hotline, whatever, but that you'll get it unless you say you don't want to get it, because otherwise it's just... There's too many factors that can intervene that are not the result of the person actively not wanting to get the paper, but just things happening in their lives that they didn't see, they didn't hear the notice. I just think it's too important to leave it to kind of a chance thing like that. And it'd just be unfair to impose that in one election cycle without kind of a lot of notice and a lot of... raising awareness that we're shifting over to a new system.
Sean's the stack.
Okay, Sean?
Yeah, my big fear is if it's a negative thing, that we're going to print up all these things, and then a bunch of people are going to tell us I'm doing it electronically, and we're going to be sitting there with a ton of paper that probably won't need to be sent out. That's my great fear in a negative response.
Can I clarify what I meant? Because that wouldn't happen under the way I'm seeing it. The deadline would be set early enough so that it's before it gets sent to the printer. So, because there is that, I think it's a 6-week period between the record date and when the ballots are mailed. So sometime within that, maybe I wouldn't even begin to say what's necessary. Les would say, is it 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. That's the firm deadline that's announced that you must notify the LES or NES, whoever, that you don't want it mailed, and then that would determine how many copies are printed.
Let me put myself on the stack. This is Bill. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe we could do several of these things. And oh, let me point out also, I don't believe Steve Brown's on the call, but I think he and Bob actually agreed on this. I know sometimes, Bob, you all disagree about some things, but I remember on a previous call he had expressed a feeling that we should mail everything, complete package to everyone, because it would increase turnout, or be more likely to increase turnout. But perhaps if we, one of the things we talked about earlier was having an easy way for people to verify their membership status and address, and make sure we have the address, all that correct on using a login on the website, perhaps like mailing them a postcard where they have to enter an ID so that it wouldn't be susceptible to, so the public wouldn't have it. But maybe if they did that, we could ask them as a checkbox, would you prefer all the candidate information be mailed with you, mailed, snail mailed to you, or emailed or made available on the web? Maybe that would work, at least for those people who go to the website to verify their address. We could ask them that, and then it would be sort of an opt-out in that case for the snail mail. Something like that work, do you think? Would that help everyone?
Makes sense to me.
Because I could suggest that if he's interested.
Could you put it in the form of a motion?
If you'd like me to. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of complicated. Let's see.
I'm glad to second it.
Bill?
Carolyn? Yeah, Carolyn?
Yeah, one of the problems is we have all these great ideas. We come up with them, but nobody takes point or, you know, could we appoint somebody to do this and follow through on the membership certification thing online, which is really crucial, and whatever else we decide.
Okay, well, I'll be glad to send him an email and probably talk to him on the phone about all this stuff.
Okay.
I'll CC the committee, and then you all can correct me or remind me of whatever I've forgotten about or missed or didn't get correct. What was that, Sean?
No, I'm just chiming in here to tell you folks, I've got to go run. I've got my LSB governance meeting tonight, so we can have an agenda for tomorrow's meeting. So I'm going to bow out gracefully here, and I will talk to you later and look forward to a good email exchange.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Well, to Wesley's action about making this into a motion, a move that we have an online membership check capability. Can you write this down, Yosh? I'm not writing it. An online membership check capability, and along with that, ask everyone if they want candidate information emailed to them or snail mailed. Hope that's succinct enough.
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
I'd like to amend that to say that the online membership verification must be arranged in a way that ensures member confidentiality.
Okay.
Oh, I think we already agreed on that last time, isn't it? I mean, I think that's kind of...
Yeah, I didn't say that, but...
No,
but
we
right.
agreed on that last time.
Well, if we're going to make a motion, it should be complete.
Well.
Okay. Online membership verification should be confidential. Right, nobody objects to that, right?
Well, I do, simply because it's just verbiage that we don't need, but put it in.
Can you add just the word secure? Would that be neater? A secure site for checking, I don't care. I mean, I think it's implied too, but it's fine to put it in.
Well, let's just say confidential. That's pretty. Got that. Okay, can
Yosh,
we go ahead and vote on this motion?
No, I'd like to propose an amendment. In line with what Bob had mentioned earlier, you had said and ask everyone whether they would like a candidate pamphlet, and Bob was suggesting that there should be a negative, and therefore I'm proposing, in line with Bob's earlier suggestion, ask everyone whether they decline the candidate pamphlet.
Okay.
As they will be viewed online.
So they know they're opting out of that.
Yes.
Okay. So it means the same thing, but that would be more clear. Yeah, I think that's fine. Any objections to that amendment? Okay. Can you read back the motion? Do you have all that, Yosh?
Yes, I will try. The election committee recommends to the PNB that we have an online membership verification capability with member confidentiality and ask everyone whether they decline the candidate pamphlets as they will be viewed online.
Point of information.
Thank you. Yes, Bob?
Now I'm a little confused when you say we ask all the members. Ask them by what medium? By email? By snail mail?
Oh, if they go to the, what I meant was if they go to the website for membership verification.
And how did they find out about that?
What was that, Bonnie?
I just don't understand how everybody finds out about that.
Well, this would be, I'm guessing, I mean, this is kind of up to Les. I'm guessing at least PSAs and maybe a postcard. Well, I guess it was going to have to be a postcard because they'll have to get some unique information that's unique to each person so that they can have a confidential login. So they'll enter a membership number or some code number or something, and then they can look at their own information and verify that it's correct. That was one of the things we talked about previously. And then on that same page, since it'll be customized for that person, we can have two check boxes so they opt in or out, as we just discussed. Because we'll have to have a way of them updating the database anyway so that people can enter a corrected snail mail address, for example.
Huh. And Yosh for Stack?
Yeah. And Bonnie asked about that.
Okay. Yeah, Yosh.
As far as announcements, these can be done not only online, but on air as well, and in a writing or a postcard if necessary. We shouldn't be limited as far as, you know, getting word out to the membership.
Okay, right. And Bonnie, did you have something else?
Yeah. On the testy side of things, I have to admit that I'm envisioning all election programming all the time for the next 3 months on the year. And I really think we have to think about this because the election with the new schedule is now going to run through the summer and the fall fund drive, through the entire fall fund drive. Aside from my testiness about this, I think that the kind of program that you're talking about that's going to be able to do this is fairly complex. I suppose there are two ways. One would be what you're talking about, Bill, which would be, or Yosh, I'm not sure who said it, which would be some sort of code that each person has to be gotten somehow. And the other way, I think you have a lot of possibilities of error based on there just being one letter spelling difference in somebody's name, they put in their name, or someone that has a name very similar to someone else in the membership list. So I just don't think that we should think that writing this little identification program is that simple a task, because it actually isn't.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Any other comments, anyone?
Anthony here.
Yeah, Anthony.
I pretty much concur with Bob about the, you know, that there are many things that might go wrong if people have to opt in to get a printed ballot. So I'd suggest an opt-out policy as well, and maybe this motion need only address that for the moment. Just the motion could say something like that the option to do not have a printed candidate booklet be an opt-out policy rather than an opt-in policy, and then we can leave the technicalities of how people update their membership and things like that for another time, or for the election supervisor to go over.
Okay.
Point of information.
Chris, this is just a recommendation anyway, but yeah, who was that? Wendy?
This is Afia. Point of information.
Oh, Afia. Yes. Go ahead, Afia.
Does not everyone have to validate their membership in order to cast a ballot, period? Whether they do it online or do it through some hard copy or paper format?
Well, they don't have to validate it. What we discussed previously is that it would be a good idea for them to do that, because otherwise they're not going to get a ballot. And so we're trying to do several things: reduce replacement ballot requests and unhappy people who think they're members but they really aren't, and undeliverable ballots because they've moved and we don't have their address and that sort of thing. But that's a separate item from opting out of the snail mail candidate information.
Point of information.
Yes, Anthony.
Actually, it's Yosh.
Oh, I'm sorry, Yosh, yeah.
Yes, it's been my understanding that, you know, you don't have to verify. In the past, we're simply mailed a ballot. In fact, in past years, two cycles ago, I was mailed two candidates, two ballots, and I was never asked to verify, you know, by a signature or a phone call or anything else. I mean, they just mailed one ballot to one of my names and a second ballot to another one of my names, both at the same address. I tore up one of them, but, you know, I didn't have to verify that I was a member. It just came in the mail.
Okay. I guess to get back to Anthony, he sort of had an amendment, which was to leave out part of the motion and just talk about in the motion to make the snail mail candidate information opt out.
Yeah, right, I guess right, you Anthony? Could call that a substitute motion.
Right, okay, I guess that would be accurate.
Perhaps there could be a separate motion dealing with the update issues, because they seem to be somewhat separate.
Okay. Well, I don't mind doing that.
Conceptually separate, anyway. Maybe technically linked.
So, by the way, I think we're at time, but actually, I think we're past time. Sorry. Can we go ahead and vote on the substitute motion? Or let me just say, are there any objections to Anthony's substitute motion?
Well, I'd like to hear it expressed a little more clearly. I'm not quite sure I understand it, actually.
Okay. Anthony?
Yeah, I would just say that that, you know, in order to save postage and paper, you know, for both cost savings and environmental reasons, we want to have an option that people view candidate information online rather than sending out a paper ballot or paper candidate booklet to all voters, but that the option of not receiving paper printed candidate booklet be active opt out rather than having to opt in to receive one. You opt out to not receive one for the reasons that Bob elaborated.
Okay, so the substitute motion is to make
the option. Voters will have the option of
not receiving,
of declining a printed candidate statement booklet, but such a decision shall require an opt out on the part of the voter.
Okay.
And technically, we can offer as many means of opting out as we like.
Okay.
The election supervisor job so much more complicated. I don't know if you could actually pull this off.
Well, this is a recommendation anyway. Okay, so we're actually past time, so but we have the substitute motion by Anthony, and so can we go ahead and vote on that? Or is there any objections to that?
I'm going to vote no. It's Bonnie.
So am I.
Okay.
Wendy.
So am
I.
Okay, Yosh, you want to go ahead and call the roll for the substitute motion?
Yes. Okay. Lee Bethune.
I'm going to pass.
Carolyn Burden. Carolyn.
I'm sorry again. Yes, I'm voting yes on this. Sounds like a good idea.
Jim Brown. Steve Brown. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Anthony Fest.
Yes.
Tracy Larkins. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Warren Marr. Ifia Wangaza.
No.
I believe Sean Casey O'Brien has left the meeting. Wendy Schrell.
No.
Bonnie Simmons.
No.
Yosh Yamanaka votes yes. And, I'm sorry, Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
So the yeas carry it with 2, 4, 5, 6, and 3 noes.
Okay. 6-3?
Yes, 6-3.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, so we're past time, so we're ready for the next item on the agenda. And I'll pass along this recommendation to Les, and I'll put it in a report to the PNB, which I forgot to do one last week. Sorry about that. Working group reports and updates is the next agenda item. Two parts. First one is membership lists cleanup. Do we have any updates on that from any of the stations?
Not a bit that I can offer.
Well, this is Yosh. I guess
yes,
I can report that I did speak to our subscription director, I guess he's called, or manager, subscription manager, and Terry indicated that he'd be happy to run an NCOA, and I guess, I did tell him that there should be a one-pager coming from KPFA. I guess his name is Chris. I don't know if that was done. But assuming Chris sent out that one pager, then all the other subscription managers should have that in hand and should be in a position to implement.
Okay. And which station are you with?
K.
K, okay, that's right. Good. Anybody else have any update? Our LES at T, by the way, is going to talk to our membership coordinator about that. So, but I don't think it's happened yet. Or at least they haven't done it. I don't think they've had an NCOA scan yet. Did somebody else add something?
Yeah, Carolyn, I have a question. We have a problem at BAI because we don't have a subscriptions manager as such. We have one person, and right now we're swamped with the business of sending out back current and back premiums. So I think it might be helpful if this committee could request Les to take a hand here, or request that the local supervisor at BAI address this issue directly. In other words, there's nobody at the station, I think, who really would be properly in charge of this except the general manager, the interim general manager, LaVon Williams. So it might help if we could ask for a very specific intervention.
To do the NCOA scan?
Well, do whatever needs to be done to, if that's the membership list cleanup, beginning with the NCOA scan and so on.
Okay. Any other comments on that, anybody? Okay. Any records or updates from any other station? I'll add this to my notes to when I talk to Les. Okay, I guess that agenda item short. Staff lists, any information on that from anywhere? quiet, huh? I'm getting the feeling from the talking to our LES also that that's all the stations are probably aren't quite sure what to do about this still, but I don't know. I know that KPFT even they still have a lot of work to do to get just get mailing addresses, for example, for the staff, much less identify who they all are.
Carolyn here.
Yeah, Carolyn.
Yeah, I think one solution to this problem may be that the national office is compiling lists in order to create, to do training for sexual harassment training. Not exactly to teach people how to do it, but how to avoid it. And the lists, that's paid and unpaid staff, and it's a more or less a legal requirement. So I understand that those lists will be compiled and they will be as accurate a staff list as any station would have to have because every single staff member has to undergo this training. So there seems to be something in the works that means we will have paid and unpaid staff lists sooner rather than later. I don't have a deadline or a timetable.
So is that definitely being done?
It is being done. I don't have a timetable. I don't know when we could promise it for or if it will do us any good at all. So maybe, again, you could ask Les to follow through on this, and if it's not, if that's not going to be fast enough for him, then maybe we can move something else here. But creating that list for that purpose is in the works, and it's probably the same list we need, every single paid and unpaid staff member at every station.
Okay.
Bonnie, does that...
Yeah, Bonnie,
and Wendy,
first staff.
Please.
Okay, Bonnie, then Yosh.
I don't know how that having people take that training necessarily how that comes up with a list of who is and isn't staff at a radio station. I'm not getting it. Sorry.
Yes, if I my comment.
Go ahead.
If Bonnie has finished, my comment is pretty much the same as hers. And you know, if you've got, say, if you've got 200 people who you think are unpaid staff, you're not sure. Maybe you only have 100 unpaid staff, but you 200 possible unpaid staff. You would want all 200 allegedly unpaid staff to take the sexual harassment instead of giving it to the 100 definite unpaid staff, because you want to be overly inclusive rather than undershoot your goal.
Let me just answer the question, or I'm not sure I can completely answer it, but I know a previous phone call, I think it was the discussion we had with Les, work group, and Grace was on the call too, I think, and there was discussion that if this was mandated, that at least whoever takes the training would have to supply their name and their snail mail address and email address and some other contact information. So it wouldn't necessarily tell us who's staff, but at least it would get that information for whoever takes the training. And then the second issue would still become verifying whether they're staff or not. And they'd also have to indicate what program they help with.
Oh, right. Thank you, Bill. That was my...
So maybe that might help the LES's collect at least some of the information. Okay. Wendy?
Okay. As far as that sexual harassment training, I mean, that was an idea that I heard it said, you know, if we could actually... I mean, the only way it's effective is if everybody does it, and it's a very good way to... It'd be good if we could do it, but I really don't see how we can pull it off to have every station has at least 200 programmers, and I don't see how we could have them all take it before this election starts. So I think it's a great idea, but we need to have started it 8 months ago. Anyway, and because there's also paying for it, I don't know if the idea is that each person would pay for their own. It's only $15, but if the organization pays for it, it's a lot of money. So anyway, what I was going to say is we need to start posting those staff lists. I mean, obviously, I think usually we post them after the record date, which now is July 15th, but you know, it'd be good to post them before the record date so people that aren't, you know, that might have done 2.5 hours instead of, I mean, not 2.5 hours, 27.5 hours instead of 30 or something could know that they're not on that list and find out what to do before the record date. So I just, I don't know where we're at on that, when those staff lists will start being posted. That would be another question to ask.
Okay, also just answer a question or issue that you brought up. I think the training was going to be online, so that presumably
yeah.
would be at people's convenience whenever they could do it.
Right.
When we discussed this, well, it was a brief discussion earlier, that the assumption is that it wouldn't be too hard to get all that done within a few weeks, and then if it was mandated then and people didn't take it, then they wouldn't qualify for a staff ballot.
Well, I don't
so that might give them incentive
that.
To do it, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
I don't think we can say that as far as the bylaws go, but it was a kill two birds with one stone kind of idea. And then, of course, yes, you can take it on your own at your leisure, but it's still herding cats. I mean, people are saying at the radio stations that they can't get the addresses of the programmers. Now we're going to get it from them because they take an online training? I don't think so.
Okay, other comments? Anyone?